Welcome to The Secret Life of a Nanny. Hello and welcome back to A Secret Life of a Nanny. Now, today was a spontaneous recording. Now, let me explain. So, the first four podcasts I have pre-recorded. I wanted to get a bit of practice, take time on the first few, get my editing, work out the program. So I pre-recorded these ones. Episode 4 is going to be about Valentine's Day. Now I know it's not Valentine's Day anymore, it's probably way past it, but right now I am recording this on Valentine's Day. So let's talk about it. Because I've never been bothered about Valentine's Day before. Mainly because I've never had a boyfriend for Valentine's Day, but just the whole idea of it, I've never been a fan of. I feel like if you love somebody, I would rather be surprised and gifted and taken out on spontaneous days when they want to because they love me, not on a day where they have to. Not because the day says, yes, you have to do it. Now, my Valentine's Day started out like any other Valentine's Day. I didn't even realise it was Valentine's Day until I went to a coffee shop this morning and there was red balloons everywhere. Now, I'm not opposed to it. If you want to celebrate it, celebrate it. And I just usually ignore it. It usually doesn't bother me. But as the day went on, I kind of was thinking about it more and more. Because I had planned to go out to a party tonight. It was a singles party. But I just didn't feel up to it. I don't feel the best right now. Some weird things have been going on with my body. Not gross. Some weird things have been going on with my body. And I just haven't felt comfortable in myself recently. So I decided to start getting ready early. Now, I'm a nanny, of course. But I started to get ready while I was at work. And I was supposed to be finishing early today. The kids were going, having a sleepover. And I was supposed to be, they were supposed to be getting picked up at 6:30. So I started to get ready. Did my hair, did my makeup. 6:30 comes around. No one's here to pick them up. 10 minutes later, still no one. Still no one. Still no one. 7:15 comes around. They finally get picked up. But I have to stand and chat for a good 15 minutes. Which usually I don't mind. But when they're already late, I'm just like, get on with it. Take them. Leave me alone. Now, the parents were away this weekend. Romantic night, of course. So usually, obviously, they would get home from work. This was different. This was relying on somebody else who maybe doesn't realise what time I finish or the commitment or whatever. And I was going upstairs to get ready, and my room's on the top floor, the bathroom's on the second floor, and I came down. Now, my stairs are incredibly slippy. They're not carpet, they're like laminate, and I've slipped and fell and really hurt my back. Bumped it on the stairs. Now, that was just bloody awful, and it was painful. But I just carried on. I went down, I poured myself a nice glass of red wine, and I just started to sip it. And the more sips I took, the more I realised I don't want to go to this party. But that made me feel so shitty. Usually I just go, nah, not bothered, don't go. I don't even bat an eye. But for some reason, this whole Valentine's thing has really knocked me over this afternoon. Has really done a number on me tonight. And I was just thinking about Valentine's, like, am I really gonna sit at home full face of makeup with a glass of wine? So I tried on a dress, I looked in the mirror and didn't help. I just looked even worse. I just saw all of my flaws. So I hopped into bed and I had some TV on. Now, this TV was just regular TV. It was just a movie. But it came up to a sex scene. And I got very aroused. Now, yeah, sex scenes are nice and sexy. And, you know, sometimes it turns you on. But I got extremely aroused. Like, the type of arousal where you just have to do something about it. It's not going to go away. So I pulled out one of my handy little toys and I masturbated. And it was good. It was awesome. And after that, I looked at my glass, which was now empty, and decided, screw it. Staying in. I'm going to go downstairs and get the rest of the bottle of wine and drink it and enjoy it. And as I was going down, I was just thinking, Valentine's Day sucks. It makes me feel bad because I'm single, which I don't feel bad about, because I have had a few guys approach me and ask me and try to date me, and I'm just not in the place where I want to date. I'm liking my alone time, I'm working on myself, I'm improving my mental health. So why today do I feel bad about it? And there's just so much pressure for Valentine's Day. And it's just a day. I would much rather you surprise me with flowers on March 1st. Get me some chocolate on July 8th. Take me out for a romantic dinner on September 20th. Because it's random and it's spontaneous. And I don't expect any future boyfriend or husband or anything to ever do anything on Valentine's Day. Now, I actually discourage it. Now, I'm sure there's many people who absolutely love the tradition, and that's fine. There's loads of people who love Halloween, and there's loads of people who don't. It's just not my thing. Now, saying that, I could meet somebody who Valentine's Day is their favourite, and they just love it, and they just want to do everything. I mean, if you want to do it, do it. If it makes you happy, do it. But I'm not fussed. Now, this podcast was very spontaneous recording. I just wanted to share my feelings. So it's not got a really... It's not got a proper topic. So I thought I would just talk about a few things, a few little stories, which... They kind of don't make up a whole podcast, but they're just fun little snippets of my life. That in the bigger picture, they probably had a decent effect on me. One of the things I want to talk about is my sex drive. No, not actually, just sex drives in general. Now, everybody has a different sex drive. Some people don't even have a sex drive. Now, mine is particularly high. I have to orgasm before I go to bed. I have to pleasure myself before I can sleep. Now, there are nights where I fall to sleep and I haven't masturbated, I haven't pleasured myself. It's because I've not thought about it. The second I get a teeny, teeny bit aroused, that's it. Game over. There's nothing else I can do. I just have to do it. And it got to the point where I really didn't enjoy it because I was doing it so much. Now, when I'm talking about these orgasms, they're very low minor orgasms. They're like the level one or two, like just clitoral stimulation. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but there's many different levels to an orgasm. And I'm just talking about these little teeny ones. Sometimes it just looks like you're flinching. But that's all I need. It just eases my tension. Now, I think it's a lot to do with mental as well. Now, I don't know where I got this high sex drive from. I'm pretty sure both of my parents have a high sex drive, just from passing comments I've heard now and then. But before that, before I was that open with my parents and found these things out, I traced back my love for porn, for masturbation, to one moment in my life. Now, this moment, I was a child. And a young child. I must have been 3 or 4, old enough to remember. And the reason I know while I was round about 3 or 4 is because we moved house round about when I was 5. And it was not in the new house. It was in the old house. But I was definitely old enough to remember. So, 3 or 4 years old. Maybe even 5. I walked into my parents' bedroom, you know, nothing odd, nothing strange. Now, they had a TV in the room, one of those old big brick box TVs, and I turned it on. Now, it automatically just turned on to the last thing that they were watching, which just happened to be porn. Now, this is a memory that is etched in my brain, and it was traumatic, but I didn't know it at the time. I just saw a couch full of people. It was a gangbang. Now I know that. But I just thought it was a bunch of people on the sofa having a good time. Now I remember it two ways, and I don't know which is the true way. Sometimes I remember it where I heard my mum come in and I switched off the TV in a fumble just before she got in. Now, the other way I remember it is she came in and she turned it off. Now, I don't know which is true. And I don't think I've ever asked. But my mum did confirm that did happen. It's not just some random memory. She does remember that happening. But other than that, I didn't really ask any more details. Now, obviously my little brain didn't understand what that was, but it looked like a good time. And now looking back on it, I remember enjoying it a lot. And I would always try different ways to stimulate myself. Now, as kids, you always play games, mummies and daddies. And these games escalate sometimes. And I was with one of my friends, again, probably definitely under 10 years old. And we were playing mummies and daddies. And I was trying to explain what mummies and daddies do. Like, they lie on top of each other and move. I didn't understand what it was. I just knew they did something. So we laid down, I laid on top of her, and immediately she was uncomfortable because, yeah, she doesn't know. In my head, I have seen it, but I can't explain it. So I said, okay, let's put a pillow there. Because, you know, we're just lying on a pillow, both of us. But that was amazing. I let my instinct take over, and I started moving my pelvic. And it felt good until my friend got a little bit weirded out by it, which it's understandable. It's weird. We're kids. But I thought I was the only one. Since I've become older, I've got so many friends, and I've heard these stories about when they were 8 and 9 and 10 and they're experimenting and they put something here and touch something there. And it kind of made me feel okay about it. And I just want you to know, if you're a parent and you catch your child doing something, that is a monumental moment in their life. Finding the joy of pleasure. Most people have had a tiny experience of it before they even sexually active, even kissed a person, because they're your private parts, and people touch and explore, and all you have to do is sit on a bedpost the right way. And my friend had an amazing bedpost that I very distinctly remember sitting on with a pillow. And those things, and that was not purposefully, I just was sitting on it. She was sat on one side of it. It was one of those beds that was kind of like a, looked like a sofa, and it was like a metal railing around the side, and we both put a pillow over the metal railing and sat on it, and we were pretending to ride horses. Now, it was completely innocent, but it felt amazing. And that was something I just, it just clicked. I didn't even think about it. By the way, if you hear a clinging or a clacking, that is my wine glass. So, cheers. Now, I'm a red wine girl myself. To be honest, wine isn't my go-to. But if I have to go for a wine, I'll go for a nice red. If I'm out, it'll be a rosé. Red's a home drink. I'm having a problem at the moment, and I hope some of you guys may be able to help me with it. So there's this guy, and I want to talk about him because we have an odd relationship. Now, I'm not going to tell you the whole story today because it is a fun story to tell you. Yeah, no, I've changed my mind. I'm going to tell you it. So, in England, I don't know if you're English people listening, Australian, I have a few Australian friends, America, but in England, our school system goes primary school till you're 11, secondary school until you're 16, college for 2 years until you're 18, then university, so on, so on. So, I went, some people just stay at their secondary school to go to college, and it's just like a joint thing, and they just stay there for an extra 2 years. I chose to go to a different college. Fine, great. First year was great. Second year, I decided to join the student council, and I was a charity officer. It was a pretty important role. And one of my other friends who was doing this, he was my type to a T. Now, I don't think he's everybody's type. I am rather inclined to a redhead. And he was so funny, so nice, and I fancied him. Now, I didn't shy away from telling him. I told him straight up, yeah, you're fit. Yeah, I fancy you. And one of the other girls from the student council also fancied him. And as well, she wasn't too shy about it. He inevitably chose her. Fine. Whatever. I got over it. They didn't even properly date, I don't think. And then he moved on to the next girl, which he was with when we left. And we just said our goodbyes. There was no emotion, really. It was just, that was it. Now, a year or two later, he messaged me just out of the blue. Hey. And I replied, hey. Now, it didn't take long before I realised he's broken up with his girlfriend. Now, they had been together probably that whole time, 2 years, one and a half, I don't know. But they had broke up. And I was fine with it. We were chatting. He was working away overseas, and I was in London living my life. So, yeah, we'll chat. It's fine. our relationship was pretty much just friendship. And that was fine, it was great. And then 6 months later, we were still chatting. Not every day. I'm terrible at messaging people. I like chatting to people and messaging people, but I wasn't into him. Not that I was going to admit just yet. We chatted for a bit more, 8 months, 9 months. And then it kind of became obvious that we were getting a bit to be more friends. Now, in this whole time, we hadn't seen each other. He was overseas, I was in London, we were busy. We didn't even, like, attempt to meet each other. We were happy with our phone relationship. Now, I think it was about 9 months in when he told me he liked me. And that wasn't so nice. I hadn't had anyone tell me they liked me in so long. I mean, guys at clubs and bars and things, of course. Ooh, you're so pretty. I want to get with you. But not genuinely. Like, he hadn't even seen me. It was completely just personality and how we were chatting. And it wasn't long after that he told me that he loved me. Now, I did say it back, but not because I loved him, which is really bad, I know. But it was because I just, what do you say to that? I haven't seen you in 2 years. And yes, we've been talking for a long time, but how can you love somebody over the phone? But I think he felt the same. I think it was more of a gesture, I love you, than a real one. And he said, I want to be with you. And I said, well, same, but we can't because it's just going to be too hard. So we agreed. I said, when are you going to be finished being overseas? When are you settling down? And he told me, 2022. Now, this was back in 2018. So 2022 was 4 years away. And I thought, yeah, same. I'm going to be in London for a while and I want to travel. I want to see the world. 2022. Fine. Let's set a date. 2022. When we're both at home, we will see what happens. And that was it. It was set. He was my backup plan. And of course, we had no strings attached. See who you want, be with who you want. If you meet somebody, great. Good for you. I hope that's the right person. But if not, I'll be waiting. Now we carried on the conversation and we've been talking for over a year. And it came right around to the summer. At this point, we've been talking for 16 months. And we weren't talking like we used to talk. We weren't talking very often. And I just knew something was up. And then in September, we started having a conversation that got a bit hot and heavy. Our first proper conversation that got steamy. And then he told me he wanted to change. And I didn't understand what he meant. And then he told me he had a girlfriend. He told me he wanted to change. And he told me that he had a girlfriend. And they had met while he had travelled in the summer. That's fine. I don't mind. We said that. We said fine each other. But I was confused that he had initiated this conversation with me. And then he goes on to tell me that he's had commitment issues and that he really doesn't want to. He really wants to try and see if it'll work, and he wants to be a good guy. And he said that he had commitment issues, but he didn't want to have them, and he wanted help, and he wanted to try. And he told me, will you help me try? Will you tell me off? And I said, of course, yeah. So I asked about his girlfriend. How is it going? How is she? Got any plans? And he got on my nerves. I am happy to be there and be his friend and support him and help him and see if this is going to work. But he was overcompensating a lot. He could have just said, Jessica's great, Jessica's fine, yeah. Oh, I'm going to take Jessica to Amsterdam. I'm going to do this. We're going here. I'm going to go meet her parents. Now, they weren't seeing each other for 6 months. He was on his next deployment for 6 months. So it was, again, just going to be a long-distance relationship. But in December, he was planning on taking her away. But instead of just saying, oh, yeah, Jessica's great, girl. My beautiful girlfriend is great. She's gorgeous and this and that. And he made her a necklace. Made her. Handmade. And it was gorgeous. And it was perfect. And it was something that I would love to wear. I kind of got a bit annoyed at his overcompensating. Our text relationship slowly sizzled down to a light simmer. Very few interactions. The weekend that he was going away was also the weekend I was finishing for my Christmas break. And I said to him, I said, I hope you have a good weekend. That was it. I didn't get a reply. I don't care. He saw it. He didn't see it. Whatever. Then, after his trip finished, I hope you had a nice trip. And he said, yes, it was great. It was awesome. Thank you so much. And I said, how did Jessica like it? Because I knew it was going to be her first time. And he ignored it. And how are you and this? And I answered. And again, I said, how is Jessica doing? And it took a good 3 days of asking and pestering for him to finally tell me that they broke up. And by the sounds of it, he didn't tell me exactly when, but by the sounds of it, it was a while ago, at least a couple of months ago. And the reason he gave was that she was boring. Now, let me remind you, he was away for 6 months. They got together and he was away till December. So, and he said that she was boring. Now, I know what this means. Sexting. Over the phone, sexting. It put me off. I'm not the best at sexting. I've told you a story about me sexting. And I'm not that great at it. And I thought, oh God, I'm glad I'm not with you because I can't be bothered to have to do that all the time. And then again, things got a bit hot and heavy between us, and he's very intense, I'm gonna say that. Recently he told me that, now I'm gonna tell you the full story, because if I just say it, it's gonna sound weird. I'm gonna say it. He said he wants my babies. There, I said it. Now I'm gonna give you the story, because it'll make sense with the story. I don't ever really take pictures of my kids that I work with at all. But I do the school run, and he had texted me a bunch and I hadn't replied, and I messaged him saying, sorry, doing the school run. Sorry, I didn't reply. And he said, oh, you're such a MILF. And I said, well, yeah, I will be one day. And he said, I hope with my children. And I just said, you know, those crying, laughing faces, awkward emojis. I sent those. Haha, yeah, sure. He's like, no, seriously. I want you to have my babies. Now, I'm pretty sure he said that to me before because I wasn't that freaked out by it. And I found an excuse to not talk to him for a while. I told him I was taking a bit of a break from my phone and social media and I just wanted to step back and have a bit of me time. And of course, the first few days he pestered and he realised I was serious. And he left me alone and I got a beautiful, quiet 2 weeks. And then Valentine's Day. Stupid bloody Valentine's Day. Now, I hadn't planned on replying, but this morning he said, "Hope you're okay. Hope you got things sorted and you're doing good." He didn't say happy Valentine's. He just asked how I was. And I thought, I can't leave this boy out any longer. Now, in January, he tried to meet up with me. And I just wasn't in the best place, best head, didn't want to meet up. Fine, not a big deal. But then he, today on Valentine's Day, said, "I've got a question." I said, "Hey, what's your question?" He didn't ask me a question. He then went to just ask me how I was again and this and that. And I said, "You had a question?" He said, "Yes. Next time I'm home, if I come to London, will you see me?" I thought, crap. "When?" He said, "April." I thought, hallelujah. I don't have to tell a lie. This job, I'm hoping to finish in April, so I don't know what I'll be about. So when? When in April? He said, "I don't know. Don't know exact dates." I thought, hail Jesus, thank you, our Lord and Saviour. Okay, April it is. I told him that I was leaving and I didn't know exactly when because it depends on my next job starts and when I actually handed my resignation for this job. Dear. Now, I don't actually need to hand in a resignation. They know I'm leaving. I was supposed to leave in summer and I stayed because I didn't want to leave the family. And I was supposed to leave at Christmas and I stayed because they couldn't find a good enough nanny and I could not leave the children anyone less than the best. So April is our new deadline. We'll see how we stick to that. But the main reason I don't want to see him is, I've told you this before, but I'm a bigger girl. Now that is not something it usually bothers me at all. But this particular boy, last time he saw me, I was a couple of good stone lighter. Now, I know he knows what I look like because I post on my Instagram, I post on my Facebook. It's not like he doesn't know what I look like. And he wouldn't be surprised. And I know that because he likes my photos. He sees my photos. He knows I'm a bigger girl. And he is inclined to date a bigger girl. So it's not even an issue, but I have made it an issue in my head. I have made it the reason why I haven't seen him, which is silly because I really don't think he would care or mind, but I've just got in my head that I can't see him until I am closer to how I look when I knew him, the last time I saw him, which now, looking back on it, is a good 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago was a lot. Now I'm just taking a moment of silence to reflect on how old I am. Oh gosh, the time flies. Especially because I didn't go to university. I did not go to university. I missed that. I jumped straight into work because I did not do good in school and university. I was not going to even attempt. So all of my friends have only been in work a few years and they're just getting started. They're getting the foot in the door. Whereas I've done that. I grafted for a good few years and I've gotten to a good place in my career where I enjoy it. Now, these are just all excuses. knowing somebody has commitment issues, I don't think that's a great selling point. Now, he has admitted them to me, so I'm like, does that mean that you wouldn't do it with me because you have told me about them? I don't know how it works. Now, this is the one area where I have no knowledge of. I have never been cheated on, so I don't know how that feels. I have never been the cheater. I've never cheated on the partner. I've never done that. I've never been the other girl. Well, scrap that. I've dabbled in the other girl. Nothing ever physical happened, just over text, and I put a stop to it when I realised what was going on. But if I see him, it would be real. And we have both said, yeah, of course we get on. We're great. But we're both very high maintenance in the bedroom. And we've said that is a big, important thing for us, that we need to have chemistry in the bedroom and we need to have good sex. And that is what the meetup would be. There's no thinking about, there's no meeting up and catching up for coffee. We know we can chat and we know we get along. We would be meeting up to see our chemistry in the bedroom. And that scares me. That's like a test. And I always did awful at tests. Like, I just want to have sex with you because it's spontaneous and I want to do it. Not because I'm trying to prove that we can work. But now I don't really know how to end this podcast. I was planning on getting all my feelings out, make myself feel better on Valentine's Day, but I've just brought up some stuff that I wasn't trying to not deal with. Oh dear. Anyway, if you guys have any advice on my situation, or want to tell me one of your situations, one of your crappy Valentine's Day, or one of your amazing Valentine's Day, tell me it. Email me at secretnanny.podcast@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. Now, thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you next time on A Secret Life of a Nanny.